The wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better wake them up, get them up, get them going. It's Friday on B&E. That is right, the end of a long, hot work week. School beginning for so many around Central Texas. Teachers, coaches, students, of course. There's been, depending on what district you're in, it's been staggered this weekend to next week, but best of luck. Start the school year strong. Let's get this thing going, but let's get into the final weekend of whatever summer is left with a big one. We got a big Texas football scrimmage to preview and talk about over at the 40 Acres. We've got plenty of NFL football conversation as well with the preseason opening last night. A couple of ball games, including cha-ching, the Baltimore Ravens delivering once again. Baseball, the Field of Dreams game was really cool last night in Dyersville, Iowa. Also have the Astros now owners of the top record in the American League after yesterday's results. So safe to say our Friday will be jam-packed. Also, our Horn Top 20 countdown hits the end of our second week. That means we're at number 11, and we're going to hit the West Coast for the first time in a bit. We'll dive in there as well. So it's going to be a busy Friday when we've got 4 hours of fun and conversation to begin right now. We appreciate you being there. However you find us on 104.9, 101.9, maybe AM 1260, or digitally on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you very much for the great job that you do. We appreciate it, and we do appreciate it each and every day. Thank you, and be safe out there.
No question. Ready to roll here. Got a lot to get into. Big conversations, big scrimmage tomorrow for the Horns. And there's some bad news for Texas football to start the weekend, it looks like, which we'll get to coming up. But, were you watching football last night?
I was watching a little football, a little
baseball.
Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, please, no more holograms of Harry Carey.
Come on!
No, you can stop that.
I thought that was cool.
No, that was
the
ridiculous.
Hologram of Harry Carey singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Yeah, the Cubs playing the Reds.
Well, you had to do some with Harry, didn't you?
Yeah, I guess. And the Cubs made up the trip from Chicago over to Dyersville, Iowa, not too far. Good way to get the Midwest fans involved. And it was pretty cool to see.
That's a cool field. That's kind of they did a really nice job there.
It's a beautiful scene. They had the Yankees there last year with the White Sox, which was cool. Another Chicago team because it's such an easy trip. But if you're ever going to go see the Field of Dreams, you probably will fly into Chicago and head west. But I thought it was cool. I know some people thought that the Harry Carey hologram singing with his audio from Wrigley Field back in the day was hokey. That was kind of cool. That was kind of nostalgic.
You like the hokiness. Yeah, that was extremely hokey.
It certainly didn't bother me by any stretch.
No,
but
it wasn't.
I think it was a nice touch to the night. How about the Griffies coming out of the corn?
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
And having a catch. You had Ken Griffey, junior and senior, coming out of the corn to start it off. And, hey, Dad, want to have a catch?
Yeah, great.
Want to have a catch? That was cool.
I love that ballpark, though.
I know. It's worth a trip. I saw somebody said they're not I think it was Frank Thomas, part of the Fox broadcast team, the Big Hurt, who revealed to some folks that they're not planning to have one next year.
Hmm.
I don't know why that would be. That was kind of cool. Kind of cool again last night, national television on Fox. But we had NFL football on the NFL Network, and so we had some preseason games, which we can talk about, and baseball to get to. Let's start with the headlines. It's some good for Texas and not a good story this morning. Let's get you caught up on the trending topics of the morning. UBO Business Services brings you the news. We start with Texas football, and after a day off on Wednesday, Longhorns back on the practice field yesterday for what Steve Sarkisian described as a tough physical day of work, and of course it comes ahead of a very important first scrimmage, which is coming up tomorrow.
thought it was a good physical practice. I thought the guys really got after it. It was good. We had a couple live periods where they had a chance to tackle, which naturally, that's one of the things early on that is the hardest transition to. When you're working on staying up and not going to the ground, and then all of a sudden you turn it on and you go live and you start going to the ground, tackling is one of the things you really have to work on early on once we start going live. So we got work to do there, but all in all, I thought the spirit was good. It was a tough practice. We'll be a little lighter tomorrow, and then we'll scrimmage on Saturday.
Not great news ahead of the weekend with word this morning that Texas wide receiver Ajay Hall, the Alabama transfer, was arrested by UTPD last night, taken to the Travis County Sheriff's Office, booked on a Class B misdemeanor charge, which of criminal mischief in the state of Texas. That is defined as vandalism or damage to another person's property. Hall, of course, transferred in to Texas this summer. First Texas actual game is 22 days away now, 3 weeks from tomorrow, when they host Louisiana Monroe. But fans will have an opportunity to get a sneak peek at the squad this coming Tuesday. Program announced yesterday that their practice on Tuesday night next week, 7 o'clock at DKR, will be open to fans and is free to attend. Parking in the Trinity Garage will also be free, and they're going to have happy hour pricing on the beers, the cold Bud Lights. There's also free admission this Sunday afternoon when the UT volleyball team holds its orange-white scrimmage at Gregory Gym. That will start at 3 o'clock, so open opportunities on Sunday afternoon and Tuesday night. NFL preseason football, pair of games last night. New England rallied to beat the New York Giants 23-20, and if you missed it at the end, it was the Patriots rookie quarterback Bailey Zapp hitting former Longhorn Lil Jordan Humphrey with a 20-yard touchdown strike late in the fourth to win that ball game. And how about the Baltimore Ravens? Cha-ching indeed. They made it 21 straight preseason wins. They beat Tennessee 23-10. Ravens have not lost a preseason game since 2015. Developing story out of Cleveland, where Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com reported yesterday that the Browns will consider trading for 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo if Deshaun Watson's six-game suspension is significantly increased upon the appeal that everyone's waiting on the decision on. Cleveland will open their preseason tonight in Jacksonville with Deshaun Watson as their starting quarterback. Dallas Cowboys will open their preseason slate in Denver tomorrow night. Houston Texans will host the New Orleans Saints also tomorrow night. In baseball, Houston Astros now have the best record in the American League. Their rubber game win over the Rangers yesterday afternoon in Minute Maid Park, 7-3. Win moves them a half game ahead of the idle Yankees, who owned an 8-game lead over Houston in the race for the best record in the American League in the beginning of July. So Houston has chased them down and went past them. Astros open a series with the A's this weekend in Houston. New York will be in Boston for three. Round Rock made it three straight wins in Oklahoma City last night. They cruised to a 12-1 win.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Boy, that's crazy news. Time to get the guys back, get them on that schedule.
Yeah.
Get back to being that, hey, student athlete, student professionals or whatever.
There's been some reporting that Ajay Hall, the newcomer receiver, took the boot off his car.
Yeah,
UTPD had put a boot on his car for parking tickets or whatever, and apparently he took the boot off the car, which, again, in the state of Texas, criminal mischief. Class B is described as vandalism or damage to another person's property, more than $100, not exceeding $750. There's Class A, which is more than $750.
Yeah, you can't mess with the boot.
Can't mess with the boot.
No.
Got to pay those tickets.
You got to pay those tickets. That's why they put that boot on that bad boy.
He was booked into the Travis County Sheriff's Office last night at 9:06.
Yeah, Ricky never messed with the boot. They just took his car. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have to boot it up. His fines were so heavy, they just stuck it up on a tow truck and said, hey, listen, we'll see you over at the tow yard.
How much is the boot on campus? Somebody needs to find that out. It can't be more than.
Well, that's for multiple tickets right there.
He's got stacked up parking tickets.
And he hadn't paid the other ones.
So at some point, they just disabled your vehicle. And apparently he disabled the boot, which is, another damage to another's property, which...
I don't know. I had a homie that parked illegally on that MLK Domino's right there, Guadalupe MLK Domino's.
And they got booted for his car.
Yeah.
On the first time? Ticket.
Yeah, first time.
Ooh.
And he had to pay on site. I don't know how much he paid, but he paid on site.
Generally, the boot is for those that haven't caught up to their couple $100 tickets there. As I said, Ricky used to get, they didn't put boots on him, they just brought tow trucks.
So we'll see. No word for, obviously this happened after the Steve Sarkisian availability, and no word from the program. Probably an in-house handling of that. No, nothing violent here, nothing like out of control.
Nobody got smacked.
Not good decision making, obviously, by Ajay Hall. So we'll see what that punishment will look like coming forward. Texas will have a big scrimmage tomorrow, and we'll hear from Steve Sarkisian coming up. How about this? Your boy over here, I got a ticket just in the mail, just yesterday. So downtown Austin, I told the story of a week ago Sunday.
That's why Zay lives up north.
We were looking. My oldest is getting married in November, so we were looking for suits, and we went down to the Joseph A. Bank,
right
downtown. Hot as hell Sunday afternoon. Found a great deal. They were great people. This is unsolicited little note. Those people were great. So we ended up getting a great deal on some suits because the boys. The groomsmen and my son, they wanted to buy suits, not rent them, because they're all that age. They need a good suit. You rent it.
Costs us as much to rent it, doesn't it?
Yeah, actually, we got a deal that, got us some good savings. So each one of the young guys get a suit, and they were great. Joseph A. Bank.
And a bunch of guys going to be getting married, so they need a suit for all these weddings.
It's a dark, a charcoal gray suit, so they can versatile.
Anytime,
To events and
weddings, funerals,
bar
mitzvahs.
And they're getting fitted, so it'll be nice. It'll look great. So whatever. So I dropped them off because I couldn't find a parking place close. And then I went across the street. I put the car in the parking lot for 10 minutes until something opened up right next to the Joseph A. Bank. There's parking on the street. It was maybe there 10, 12 minutes. And then I moved it. I was keeping my eye out the door once something opened along the street. Moved it over there. I got a ticket for $87 for leaving the car in that parking lot for 12 minutes.
Got it.
What are we doing? When they got a camera, took a picture of my license plate.
I know one person. Don't mess with the toll people.
Parking Nazis are out of control, man.
Oh, the toll people don't play, E. And plus, they send it to the wrong address, and then you get a bunch of things piled up. And then those people call, they get the collection agency after you. They want to give you the deal, and they still don't know how to get anything to you. But they want to know, hey, will you give us your credit card? I'm like, hell no, I'm not giving you my credit card. Send something to me in the mail. You have my address. You seem to get most of the stuff to my address. Why is it this?
Exactly.
Yes, have you been on the toll road? Yes, I have. And generally, if I'm on the toll road, you'll send me a bill from being on the toll road. And no, I don't have a toll sticker, so leave me alone. If I want to pay extra, aren't you happy with me? You're getting a little extra cash.
You don't have a toll tag?
No, I don't do toll tag now.
Why?
Oh, I'm fine with $3-4 or whatever extra.
Then you got to mail it?
Well, that's fine. I mail everything. I'm a mailer. I send stuff with checks, but I'm why can't they get my address? I said, dude, I haven't lived at that address for 4 years. I said, so if you're sending mail to where I used to live, after you've already sent mail to this address, I'm probably not going to get that. I said, here's where I live. Yeah. Send me the proper
That's
stuff.
That's been a problem.
I'm like, come on. It's not that hard.
I would just advise getting a toll tag. It's easy. Comes right out of your debit.
Then you got to pay a little extra, don't you?
No, you
keep
safe.
It going.
You
can
save.
Yeah, but you can put a little extra in there, right?
It also works around the whole state. So if you're in Dallas and jump on
that's
the tollway there,
that's the one to get
you. That's where they get expensive.
Well, they got about three different toll companies
in
this area.
I understand the racket. And the actual ticket I got for parking for 12 minutes across from Joseph A. Bank, it came from the parking company. They docked me. Now, this didn't even come from the city of Austin or anything. Does that mean do I have to pay that? I guess I do.
Yeah, you do.
$12 for 12 minutes in that parking lot. Kidding me?
Yeah, because if you don't get that done, the next time they get your license and you're in the Austin area, you won't get the
booth. The parking company?
Yeah, you'll get the...
But I'm not dealing with the city on this deal. It's not a municipal
fund. It's a fundraiser.
It's a fundraiser for that company. I just won't ever park in that damn lot again.
I love the lot deal, too.
I'm going there. How often would I go downtown?
Jeez. That's why Zay lives up north. Zay say you got a lot of parking up north, right? Y'all don't play that game?
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Is it?
It's beautiful.
Just park where you like?
Yep.
Dang.
Anytime I went downtown when I was in Mueller, wife dropped me off. UT basketball games, UT football
just
games.
Just drop me off.
Just drop me off. That's I'm not even going to risk it.
Well, that's one of the great benefits to Uber and Lyft is that, you got to pay to get there, but once you get down there, you don't have to pay to park, which can become pretty exorbitant, especially when you park for 12 minutes and get a $90 fine. Jerks. All right, so Friday on the Horn, B&E with you.
And I do understand
airing our grievances.
I do understand people talking about sending stuff in the mail because, once again, you can't send, I've sent cards to my daughters my granddaughters for birthday. That's that PayPal and all that other stuff you have to send it to. You send a card in the mail, somebody's opening up that card. I don't know who it is. I'm not buying it's the mail person who delivers it. But somewhere along the way, somebody's ripped into it and checked it out to see what kind of, if you're the old man like me who will send, $50 in there or 25 or whatever you put in there in cash, that money gone.
See ya!
I'm like, can you at least leave the card? Hell no. Yeah, we're taking the card and the money.
That's a federal offense right there. You can't be digging in people's mail.
It's supposed to be going to jail for that, right?
Yeah. Well, listen.
First they smell it. If I do, then they open it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they're going to smell it first.
Well, if I do decide to pay this $90 fine, I have the funds thanks to the
scratch and sniff, Zay. What the hell is that?
Listen, if I do decide to pay this ticket, I will have the funds thanks to the Baltimore Ravens last night. Come on, John Harbaugh. Cha-ching.
Keep up the good work.
If I have fallen to degenerate status,
yes, you have,
wagering on preseason football games.
Little BK, yes,
but
you
I don't care when they play it. They play it on the moon. If it's a lock, it's a lock, baby.
That's right.
Lock it in
Baltimore.
That's
a start right there.
You know how much money you could have amassed if you would have bet on the Ravens and money line for the last
couple
six
years, just let it ride?
Seasons now? Just ride this thing out. Ride that horse.
I want to have a chance to lose, okay?
21 in a row. We want winners.
That's right.
We want winners. Baltimore getting her done. We told you it wouldn't be close. They just stretched this thing out. Tennessee on the road. They're going to put a bunch of you know, backups in the game. Baltimore's
gonna... I did like Malik Willis last night a little bit.
Malik Willis, the young quarterback out of Liberty, is going to get some time. How about Lil Jordan Humphrey, game-winning touchdown catch up there in New England with the Patriots. Probably not good that Lil Jordan's playing late in the fourth quarter of the first preseason game as far as his spot on the depth chart, but producing with a rookie quarterback that they have there, the kid Bailey Zapp, who is getting it done. And the Patriots, that's curious, man. Bill Belichick continues to be cryptic about who's going to be the offensive play caller in New England this year. So in this game last night, he confirmed that essentially Matt Patricia and Joe Judge took turns. Like quarter by quarter, I don't know, calling the plays.
It's crazy.
You're the coach, Buck. Is this the best thing to develop a young quarterback like Mac Jones, bringing in Matt Patricia, who's been a career-long defensive coach?
Yeah, that's the one I don't get that one.
Joe Judge remember when he got the New York Giants job several years ago, he was a special teams coach.
Yeah, you better have it rolling in New England because Bill Belichick will say, hey, you're out, you're in.
And, of course, Bill Belichick, when asked about it, said,
we'll do it, we'll be fine.
We have a process.
Yeah, there's the process.
We're going through a process. All right, Coach.
Yeah, we'll do just fine.
Got all that jewelry, all those Super Bowl rings. But, yes, I think we're going through a process is now going to become like when Bill Belichick would say, we're on to Cincinnati. God. On to Cincinnati.
Man.
Bill Belichick was asked, what were some of the benefits of having Joe and Matt call plays tonight? I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to do that.
Yeah, that was his answer, yeah. Okay.
Do you know if one will call the plays when the regular season arrives? Yeah, don't worry about that. We'll work it out.
Yeah, I love that we'll work it out. It's a process.
Nothing to see here.
No process, really.
Right. I mean, I think people will get mad at the media for everything. I think those are fair questions, but at the same time, it's Bill Belichick. What are you going to do?
Absolutely. You know what the answers are going to be.
It's a process. But yes, so that's our grievances this morning. But I have the funds now. Thank you to the Ravens. Nice job. That'll be the last. Well, why would I when the Ravens play their next preseason game? Let it ride, baby.
Sure, of course you do.
Let it ride.
I got no problem with that. You know what? With a streak, for sure.
I have never bet on a preseason game until last night, but bang, delivery.
Yeah, and for you young guys out there, if they put metal on your wheel, you don't go ahead and get the, I don't know if you've got a, steel cutters in the back of the car or whatever, and blaze that thing up and cut it off. But no, you have to leave that on.
Yeah, you just got to go pay the ticket.
Yeah, tickets, probably.
That's poor decision-making by Ajay Hall, obviously, and entitlement for sure. Look,
you're not a kid coming out of high school. You know better than that.
Well, and he's transferred in from Alabama, so he's trying to make good impressions and at his new spot. And obviously, he's familiar with Jeff Banks and Steve Sarkisian from the recruitment process and time at Alabama.
That's a nice ride. He's lucky he got the car, that the wheels are still on
the damn thing. And then how did he pull that off? Because it is a burnt orange Dodge Charger, it looks like, or a Mustang. And the boots burn orange. They're like the boot matches the car.
I know.
The boot matches the vehicle.
That's how you do it in the pros.
Well, you can't go to ripping that thing off, obviously.
Because they're pros. That's what happens with the pros. You get a car like that.
Well, I know the parking laws that we just talked about can be frustrating and annoying and all of that, but can't do that.
So, no, you can't mess with the boot.
So they'll deal with that.
I first met the boot up in New England. I've never had one on.
Never had the boot. Mm-mm.
I've had players that... Coach, what is that? Can I mask? No. I said, no. I said, did the cops put it on? Yeah. Okay, let the cops take it off. You don't take it off. It's like the handcuffs. You don't tell your buddy, hey, clip this real quick. I got to get out of here. No, if they put them on you, they're on you for a reason.
No question. Listen, I was, you know, we talked Texas football, the actual football. They had a good practice yesterday. Heard from Sark right there. Over at Horns 24/7, by the way, it was the first report of the arrest of Ajay Hall on a misdemeanor charge. Chip Brown over there at Horns 24/7 had a good story that dropped this morning, his insider report. Talking about Kelvin Banks, the freshman offensive lineman. And, you know, this is one of the big things people will be watching tomorrow in the first scrimmage, and the Saturday scrimmage is all the way to camp or to the start of the season. The report's already that Kelvin Banks, the true freshman out of Summer Creek down in the Deer Park area, Houston area, is already splitting first-team reps with Andre Carrick, the starting left tackle, and that's probably a good development. But in the story, Chip talked to the high school coach of Kelvin Banks down there at Summer Creek, who was a former Longhorn, who played wide receiver at Texas in the early 90s. And he said, look, if that kid gets into the rotation, watch out, because there's not a more competitive dude. He is all about business, and if you know, he will not let the other guys on that line slack. He talked about how he helped change their program and their culture because of the way he goes about his business every day and what his expectations of himself are, but also of his line mates and his teammates. This is the kind of player that Texas—
That dude's looking to get paid here in a couple of years.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, he's all business, according to his coach and people close to him, that Kelvin Banks, you know, pretty much made himself through work. Obviously, genetics, he looks the part.
He did hit the lottery there.
But he played basketball as a freshman just to work on his footwork because he wanted to be a better offensive lineman. Then once he felt like he played enough basketball, he wanted to get in the weight room and put on the weight. I mean, he set out to become a five-star offensive lineman through work, not just being born with it. And then, of course, Kelvin Banks had been committed to Oregon originally, and then when Mario Cristobal, one of the reasons he picked Oregon is Mario Cristobal is seen as a tremendous developer of offensive linemen, having played offensive line there at Miami back in the day, and then on his stops along the way, mostly as an O-line coach coming through the coaching ranks.
Done a great job on offensive linemen where he's been.
So, I mean, that gives you the idea that the kid did his research and said, well, where can I go to play for one of the best offensive line coaches in the country? And Oregon was the spot. And then when Mario Cristobal bolted and took the Miami job, he reopened his recruitment, and that's when Kyle Flood and the Longhorns got involved, and that's when they won the commitment. But, man, that's going to be one to watch. Texas is looking for impact players as freshmen. Earlier this week, Jordan Whittington, the Longhorn receiver and one of their captains, was asked about young guys that are standing out, and he pointed out two guys. He said Savion Redd, the young wide receiver, and then Kelvin Banks. He said Kelvin Banks is all business, and brings a nasty streak to it.
Yeah, so, man, they pay left tackles a lot of money.
Oh, man, it's a priority position. And, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with working your way into that spot where you become a top left tackle. I mean, quarterbacks make the big bucks, but the priority positions in pro football, and really every level, are quarterback, left tackle, pass rush, corner. And then guys who, impact offensive players who put the ball in the end zone come right behind that. But those are the four foundational pieces of a team. When you're starting to rebuild a team, you got to get a quarterback, you got to get a left tackle, you got to get a pass rusher, and you got to get somebody that can cover on the outside and create opportunities, which Longhorns are looking to do. But Kelvin Banks could be that guy, number 78. So we'll keep an eye on that storyline moving forward. And that will lead us into some conversation with Steve Sarkisian on what he's looking for in this first scrimmage tomorrow. It'll go live, Buck. And, that's a different animal. You're practicing. The first couple days were kind of get your feet wet, then install, then heavy rep.
Just don't hit the quarterback.
And tomorrow will be live. They're going live action. He wants to see how the quarterbacks react to it, the young freshman linemen. This is trying to make it as much like a game-like atmosphere as possible and really go at it with Pete Kwiatkowski on defense, Steve Sarkisian in the offensive
staff. There's a lot of running
backs
that need action. I know one that doesn't. Number five.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be live action tomorrow. So obviously we'll try to get it's not open to the public. Longhorns will have an open to the public practice on Tuesday, but this one's going to be closed down and have to be the insider sources.
Don't hit the quarterback, Zay, and don't hit a guy coming across the middle. We're not looking to take out our own guys. If a guy's coming out and across the middle, you don't have anything to prove by knocking him out before the first game.
What you mean? When was the last time you think Quinn Ewers has been hit?
Ooh,
well, you're not going to. No, you're still not hitting. You're not going to hit him on Saturday.
Sometimes you need to get hit.
No.
Peyton Manning said he always loved to get hit.
Sam Ellinger,
yeah.
Sam Ellinger liked to take a pop to get him into a ball game. But no, they're going to have the different colored
quarterbacks for
jersey
sure.
on. But you're right. That's a fair question. Say, when was the last time he didn't play his senior year at South Lake Carroll? He didn't.
Okay,
do much
so when he's coming out of the tunnel, have somebody go ahead and strike him, strike him where he knows it's coming, not from behind.
Sarge's going to go up to DeMarvion Overshown and say, "Look, don't hit, but he needs to take one."
No, he doesn't.
Give him a good one.
No, he doesn't need. But give him
pop
one.
Him one.
Give
good.
Him one in the tunnel. Come on, give him one quickie. That's what he's going to probably say to one of his guys. Hey, can you give me a little quick?
DeMarvion, you know me, man. I'm not going to. I'll suspend you in theory, but I need him to take a hit. I need Quinn Ewers to get popped one. Give him a good one.
Oh, believe me, somebody's going to make a mistake and come clean.
You don't want the first one to come against Louisiana Monroe, do you?
No, I don't want the first one to come in practice. Practice ain't going to do me any good if he doesn't make it to that game.
Let Quinn put on the puffy helmet and just take a hit.
Oh, dude, that I'm talking about from the backside.
Puffy helmet.
We're talking about the great freshman left tackle who misses his first block in that real live action when somebody on the defensive outside shakes him up. When Overshown gets out there and he's over a guy like that, a speed rusher, and that son of a gun gets upfield on him. No. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Blow that one. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Don't let that kid get hit. And I'm talking about any of those quarterbacks and any of those wide receivers. Don't let X-Man come across the middle and you're somebody trying to prove I can make the team here at defensive back. Hell no.
Buck, you need to upgrade your whistle. That's not like the whistle with the ball in it and stuff.
Oh, the bad
whistle.
Better
than that.
We got our first scrimmage. We got some red meat. You're talking about what not to do. Let's talk about what we need to be doing.
No, you don't need to be hitting a couple wide receivers. Jordan Whittington doesn't need anybody making contact with him, believe me.
Hey, we'll be back. Just getting warmed up this morning. A lot to get into. The Longhorns conversation, obviously plenty from the NFL. Earlier in the week, Bucky suggested, why wouldn't the Browns be interested in Jimmy Garoppolo if Deshaun Watson's suspension is increased significantly? Well, there's now a report out of Cleveland that indeed would be the case. We'll talk about it. NFL preseason, Longhorn preseason, and how about baseball? Astros overtake your Yankees in the American League. All things we'll be
Yankees
talking about.
Stink.
Yankees are slumping a bit. Astros get it past them last night. We'll get the details on that. Some facts of the day. A lot to do. Plus our Horn Top 20 countdown at number 11 today. We'll shine the spotlight on that team for the first time. Coming next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&A with you. It's a Friday here on the Horn, and we got a lot going on. Good conversations already and more to come. NFL preseason, Giants. I had that wrong. I thought New England won that game. I was watching it and then fell asleep, and the Giants came back to win that game on a field goal 23-20. Little Jordan Humphrey did catch a touchdown pass from Bailey Zapp with 4:57 to go. Like they're going to lead them to a victory. Instead, the Giants get the win for Brian Daboll, his first as the head coach of the Big Blue New York Football Giants. And yes, the Ravens cha-chinged it last night. They brought it home 23-10. Plus, in Major League Baseball, Astros beat the Rangers yesterday. How about the Astros? They took 2 out of 3 from the Rangers, and they lost the Verlander game, which has been not the trend. But Framber Valdez yesterday, great again. He's got 19 consecutive quality starts for the Astros. The 1-2 combination of he and Verlander, pretty tough, man. They give you 7 or 8 good innings each time they go out there, give you a chance to win the ballgame. That's why the Astros now have the best record in the American League, as they went right past the Yankees last night, who did not play yesterday. So we'll follow that story into the August stretch and into, obviously, September and beyond. We're also talking Texas football with the big scrimmage coming up tomorrow and full pad practice yesterday and those conversations. As a coach, Buck, what are your – I know you talked about not hitting the quarterback, not getting anybody hurt. That's always the number one goal of any training camp and any preseason scrimmage. But as for a live scrimmage, and we'll hear from Steve Sarkisian talking about it, he doesn't back away from this. These are important. These Saturday games.
You don't sit guys. I mean, you're not sitting guys out. I mean, you know what you got in the running back, so you can't sit him out. There's other running backs that need to get some work done. You know, even the guy who's tire just got the boot put on it and stuff. That guy needs to have some more
reps.
Those guys need reps, and there's tons of wide receivers that need reps with either one of the quarterbacks. So, and both quarterbacks have to throw the ball. I'm not saying that's just the deal. You don't hit the quarterback, but I mean, he has to have pressure on him. He's got to know when there's arms up in the air, how he's got to throw the ball, angles and different things to do that. I mean, if he needs to get hit, then, I mean, call back Tom Herman. Let Tom Herman headbutt him on the way out.
Working
or something.
For CBS Sports now.
Oh, yeah.
TV analysis.
Yeah,
Tom
get
Herman.
Yourself a headbutt here or there. But There's a guy, an offensive line and defensive line. Those guys need to work in the trenches. That's just the way it is. That's just the life of a scrimmage. So, and then you go do some situational scrimmage. You know, as I say, get down there in goal line scoring zone, coming out. You know what I'm saying? When you got the ball, trying to come out and get that first down. Maybe a 2-minute drill here or there, because this is a huge one right here, E. Yeah, this is where you're going to build. You need to know who your number twos are coming out of this first scrimmage.
Well, as Chris Sark said, it's an important day. There's a lot of notes. Who's absorbing what the coaching, right? Who is, because they're going to let him go and they're going to play as much like a game as they can.
Yeah, everything that they put in, they want to let you.
They want to see how
you
get it. It's like a test, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you practice and practice.
Have you absorbed any of this stuff that we've been talking about?
Then this is the test, and who is. Especially at the quarterback position, some of these younger key guys that are new to the system, who's actually picking up what they're trying to coach them up to do. All right, so we'll talk Texas football. We also are talking big picture college football. We wrap up our second week on our way to number one. That means we're at number 11 in our Horn Top 20 countdown.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 11, the Oregon Ducks.
All them ducks.
I don't like that fight song.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't. All right, that's traditional. Oregon Ducks with a new head coach. He is Dan Lanning. He comes in from Georgia. Of course, where he was a part of that tremendous defense for the Georgia Bulldogs last year that won the national championship, Kirby Smart. Of course, he replaces Mario Cristobal, who we just talked about, who left to take the Miami job, his alma mater. He's going down to the U to try to build it. But what he left was pretty good, and that's kind of why we have this team as one of the top teams in the Pac-12, probably for most people the favorites to win the north side of the Pac-12. I think they're better than Washington. I think they're better than Oregon State and Stanford in that side.
Yes, for sure.
They are the favorites there, which is why we have them at 11. They've got the best offensive line.
Yeah, they lost a couple guys on the offensive line. They bring back 8 offensive players, 7 defensive players. But the key for this group, it's been over the last couple of years when it comes offensively, it has been what they do on the offensive line. Alex Forsythe is back at center, 6'4", 305. They got a nice right guard, Stephen Jones, 6'5", 340. They have big, strong guys, and their tackles are real agile. They can move around. They've got guys that can really, really run. It'll be about what they can do at running back and, of course, at quarterback with, you know, Bo Nix coming in. Now, Bo Nix is, you know, they're just waiting to see if this is going to be the guy. I mean, he's a senior now, you know, been at Auburn, was supposed to make things happen at Auburn. It didn't just happen for him. But I don't know. The pressure still will be on him as a senior. Yep. But if they can run the ball and they can protect him – better than they did. They got to protect them better than they did at Auburn. This is still one of the best offensive lines in college football.
Certainly the best in that conference.
And yeah, no doubt.
So when I say that Mario Cristobal left, you know, he was building that thing up. That Calvin Banks was a commitment to Oregon. Obviously,
right.
He was trying to change the face of the Pac-12 and become a power running, you know, SEC kind of football program. And he was taking them there. They won 10 ball games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, they beat Ohio State in Columbus early in the year last year, went in there and surprised the Buckeyes with a power run game. You know, their 2 of their 4 losses were to Utah. Utah beat them twice. And that'll become the question for Dan Lanning. And obviously, so with a first-year head coach, there's new systems and new staff and a lot to learn, but they have a lot of talent. I think they're the most talented team on the north side of the Pac-12.
By the way, on both sides of the ball. Now, they're going to lose, you know, you lose Thibodeau. You're losing a lot when it comes to
Kayvon Thibodeau, the top 5 pick.
Yeah, to their defense. But they have Noah Sewell, Penei Sewell's younger brother, and he plays linebacker. He doesn't look to be 250, but he runs like a strong safety. You don't know where he's coming from. I mean, he can drop and be in coverage, but he can come off the edge too. I mean, he's just a football player. He's got great instinct for the football. He causes a lot of fumbles. He played a lot as a freshman last year and played banged up. If that guy is healthy, he is a stud at 250.
Yeah.
I mean, every bit of him, 6'3", but he looks like he's about 230, you know, 225, that type of linebacker. But he plays in the middle, E, but they put him out as a rush guy. They'll drop him in coverage. As I said, he'll play like a strong safety at times. He's just a good football player. He's one of those kids that look like he played at Baylor or Oklahoma State. He can do all those type of things.
Yeah, well-schooled and obviously and a brother in the National Football League already.
And Coach Lanning, obviously, he knows about defense.
That's right. Well, that's going to be the thing, right? Can Dan Lanning have that impact on the defensive side of the ball to go with? Look, you know what Bo Nix is going to be. And Dan Lanning, coming from the SEC, knows Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he had the legacy at Auburn. We know that story. And decided it wasn't Brian Harsin's offense was not for him. And transferred out to Oregon, where he's going to get a chance. And it's going to be a game manager kind of thing. Let's run the football. You run yourself. Be the physical runner you are. We're going to win with our offensive line, with our defense, and with great athletes, which Mario Cristobal was recruiting. Oregon Ducks. And by the way, they'll get a baptism by fire. Their first game is against the Georgia Bulldogs. Coming up on September the 3rd, 22 days from now, they'll play Georgia in Atlanta.
Then they'll play BYU in game three. They got some tough ones early.
They do. Two real physical games early, Georgia and BYU. But then again, they're the class of the North. There's no one in the north side of the Pac-12 close to them as far as talent in key spots. Offensive line, the defensive line and linebacker core, athletes on the outside that can really run. Mario Cristobal was building something really good there, and obviously he decided he had to go back home. I mean, the Miami job.
He's from there. His mother wasn't well.
Right, and there are a lot of reasons. But at the same time, he himself said that was a really hard decision because he felt like they were building something special in Eugene, and that's what Dan Lanning will take over coming in from Georgia. All right, so that's our first look at the Oregon Ducks. We'll talk about them throughout the morning, spotlight them at number 11. Obviously come up on Monday, and then the next week we'll be into the top 10, all the way to number 1 as we count this thing down and get you to the college football season. We'll talk more Texas football coming up. We will hear from Steve Sarkisian, his expectations for what he's looking for, especially from the quarterbacks, Quinn Ewers, Hudson Card, in this first scrimmage tomorrow at the stadium. Also, the Longhorns, as a program, have announced an open practice. If you want to get a sneak peek at the Horns, we'll tell you where and when you can do that to get out and see this team through your own eyes. I'll get you those details coming back. It's B&E with you, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming always on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you. We'll hear from Steve Sarkisian coming up in our coach's corner ahead of the first camp scrimmage tomorrow. 3 weeks to the Longhorn season opener. Also, we have Days of Our Quarterbacks' Lives, Buck. You know, the offseason, we like to play the Days of Our Lives theme song, and as the quarterbacks change and evolve, and there's more Days of Our Quarterback Lives stories today, including Tom Brady. Tom Brady's going to be taken. He won't be playing in the Buccaneers' first preseason game or their second. Tom Brady's going to take some time away from Tampa training camp.
There you go.
Tampa Tom. Todd Bowles, the new head coach, of course, because Tom Brady wanted it that way. Todd Bowles said, this is something we worked out. We worked this out ahead
of camp.
Said
before camp even started.
Yeah, he wanted to get to camp, Tom Brady, and then get to get some chemistry with the current team and the new players, which they do have. Julio Jones is now there in Tampa. They got some new faces, so Brady went through the first week of camp, and then he's going to take some time away to deal with, as Todd Bowles put it, some personal stuff, some personal things. My initial thought, and I don't know what this is, no one has reported what this is for Tom Brady.
That's why they call it personal.
Right. But could it be that he's filming that movie? Remember that when he retired, it came out that he was filming a movie with all those Hollywood actresses? Is this a movie shooting thing that he worked out with Todd Bowles?
I'm not. I mean, I know he's had a mother who's had cancer.
Sure.
He may want to spend time with his mom and dad and all that stuff. And they've already talked about this before. I'm not even going to speculate on what this dude is up to.
He'll be back in time for the
taking some time off to get ready for when he's done, so all these millions he's going to make in a booth.
Yeah. Well, the other point is that Brady has not met with the media since camp began, which, you know, that's odd for a starting quarterback not to face some questioning. And, of course, his name was in the NFL's investigative report into the Miami Dolphins, the punishment for Stephen Ross, their owner. And as we talked about, I know Monty and I talked about it last week, it takes two to tamper. If the Dolphins were punished for tampering and the reports were that they were going after a big-name quarterback and it was revealed that it was Tom Brady,
mm-hmm.
and Tom Brady was on a boat with the owner and some coaches and some Miami Dolphins brass. Well, I mean, Tom Brady should be asked about that. I mean, he was open to the conversation while under contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I don't think Tom Brady is just Teflon in that story.
Oh, you think this is his way of serving a suspension for a couple days away from training camp?
I don't know. I don't know. I just know that that story was pretty clear from the NFL of what was going on, that the Dolphins were trying to angle to bring Tom Brady in, give him a piece of ownership. And then Sean Payton, who is still under contract with the New Orleans Saints, and Tom Brady has not fielded any questions on that conversation. But again, it takes two to tamper. Tom Brady could have not taken the calls. Tom Brady could say, look, I'm under contract with the Bucs. What are you talking about? Why would I? And the report went all the way back to where he was tampering or talking with the Dolphins all the way back when he was playing with the New England Patriots in 2019. So this was not a new phenomenon, a new conversation. So, but Brady will not be.
Brady being shady? Come on,
shady
man.
Brady. Oh, no.
It's not like that for the GOAT to be shady, is it?
No. Come on. He's Golden Boy. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT.
To me, those balls are perfect.
There you go. One phone, Tom. Come on now.
Tom will not be in attendance the next couple weeks. Take some time. Also, from the days of our quarterback lives, Deshaun Watson, you said this on Monday, Buck, and spot on, that now Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns, has for a long time for Cleveland.com, reported that according to her sources, the Browns would explore an opportunity to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo from the 49ers if indeed the suspension is extended from six games, or which we all expect. Of course, the NFL is still pushing for on its appeal, NFL still pushing for a season-long suspension.
Even more reason to have that guy there.
And we talked about the obvious connection with Jimmy Garoppolo, who's going into the final year of his contract. The Browns, the way they set up Deshaun Watson's mega deal they signed him to once they traded with the Texans, it gave them cover in this first year as far as cost. So, they're only paying Deshaun Watson $1 million this year. So if he doesn't play, they still have cap room to go get a Jimmy Garoppolo, bring it in and afford it under their salary cap and let him be their quarterback this year. You said it right on Monday. If Deshaun Watson ends up with a 12-game suspension or a season-long suspension, you can't just give up on the year if you're the Browns. Too good a team.
Your fans are either already mad at you because you brought him in, or you have to give the fans something like you're trying to win games with a team like this.
Well, not just your fans, your locker room.
Right.
I mean, the locker room looks up
good,
at management.
And they got good players.
Oh, man. I mean, they've got pro bowlers, all pros. That, Deshaun Watson was seen as, and maybe still is, the missing piece for them, big picture. But right now, you had Baker Mayfield. I mean, there's going to be guys in that locker room saying, well, is this your plan? We're going with Jacoby Brissett. And, of course, they're going to say all the right things. But at the same time, Jimmy Garoppolo took a team to a Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo was in the AFC Championship game 1 year ago.
And that's
ago.
The type of team he can win with.
It is. It's a run-based team. Game manager can flourish there.
Mm-hmm.
And they got weapons. They've got a good defense. And, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo would make a lot of sense. So it does make sense that Mary Kay Cabot is saying, hey, they would. And they're waiting on this decision from the, Sue L. Robinson, the judge, handed down the six-game suspension. It's now been appealed by the NFL. And Roger Goodell has appointed the former New Jersey Attorney General Peter Harvey to make the decision.
Great, Pete. Just go ahead and put it up to 10 games. That'll be still enough that you have to go get somebody else to quarterback.
Might go to 12. Now, there's a Deshaun Watson side to this. That according to the Associated Press, Watson's camp is now leaking it out there that they would accept an 8-game suspension and a $5 million fine. Can we find middle ground here? Because I think they're starting to read the tea leaves and see, okay, this thing's not going well. Let's put this out there.
Six is not going to be enough.
We would accept 8, half the season, or almost half the season. Now they play 17 games, and a $5 million fine. Now, I think we were past the settlement stage if you're Deshaun Watson. As far as that goes, I think that's in the past because, again, the judge ruled in favor of the league on all counts. It was egregious behavior, predatory behavior.
Yeah, understand this. Yeah, in the right and wrong category, the commissioner wants to do the right thing. He understands predatory. He wants to move on with his football season without this stuff being there. So if he can say, okay, let's add 2 to 4 more games, and if you're good with that, we can roll on. I won't ask for the whole thing, the indefinite suspension of Deshaun Watson, but I'll take it if we go to 10 or maybe even to 8, he says this is over with, but you are going to get fined $5 million. I got to believe the Watson camp would say, okay, that's it, let's go. Because commissioner, as right as he'd like to be, or whether you think it's right or wrong about Deshaun Watson, the commissioner would like to move on with his football season, you know?
Well, and again, he has all the ammo he needs.
Right.
So does the appointee. Say, look, this is way worse than anything that. Because, again, the judge, the original arbiter, ruled on precedent. She's not resetting the precedent based on this.
Now, the commissioner is, once again, having the last word, can have the last word.
But she essentially teed up Roger Goodell to reset the precedent.
Sure.
And that's what this would do. Is what had been the norm for a punt for situations like this was a six-game suspension, so we're going six. You can change that with appeal. And, you know, so 12 makes a lot of sense. Double it or even season long. And the Browns need to know, because if they are going to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, they would like to do that pretty quickly so he can get some preseason games under his belt with his new team. All those storylines to follow. It is the quarterback days of our lives. We'll get to some more quarterback conversation coming up, including the Longhorn quarterbacks. That's important. Scrimmage tomorrow. Hudson Card, Quinn Ewers. What does the head coach expect of the QBs? They hope to see tomorrow. Also, we have a Longhorn booked into county jail last night on the after practice. That's not good. We'll get you details of that misdemeanor, but not the news you want to hear if you're Steve Sarkisian this morning. We'll get to all that. It's a busy, busy Friday here on the Horn. 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming always on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.